And we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter number 23. I know that a lot of Jeremiah here has been kind of gloomy. And this is going to actually give you a little bit of hope today. There is some positiveness in this text. But it's all the Word of God. Whether it seems to be negative or positive to me, it's all positive because it's all the Word of God. And it's all food for our souls. So Jeremiah chapter 23, we're going to read the first 8 verses. Woe to the shepherds. And when he says shepherds, he's talking about spiritual leaders in the Jewish community at that time. So when he says the shepherds, the way, of course, in Spanish, the way you say shepherd is pastor or pastor. And woe to the spiritual leaders, the shepherds, who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away. You have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, then he changes gears here a little bit. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the part that is interesting to me. And this is going to kind of be the crux of what I have to say today. And this is the name by which he will be called. This branch of David, this king who's going to reign in righteousness, says, and this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, and this is another very cool verse, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the people out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had been driven. He had driven them. Then shall they dwell in their own land. And so this is going to be a very odd title. I'm really not into titles. But if I was to title this, I would just say, and I'll explain what this means. Will the real Zedekiah please stand up? Will the real Zedekiah please stand up? And let's worship the Lord today. God, we're so thankful for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray that your word would enlighten us, Lord, enlighten our understanding. And God, that your word would go deep down inside of our hearts, Lord, and that we would treasure your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you look at the very first verse of this, he starts off rebuking the spiritual leadership in Jerusalem. And he says in verse 1, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. And you say, you know, how was that happening? How were these spiritual leaders, how was that occurring? How were the sheep getting spiritually scattered and messed up and confused to where they didn't know right from wrong or good from evil or truth from false? What was going on there? And if you go back to the last chapter, and we didn't get to this verse last week in the previous chapter, in chapter 22, verse 22, he says this here about the spiritual leaders. He calls them shepherds. And it's kind of interesting. He says, the wind shall shepherd all your shepherds. Think about that. The wind shall shepherd all of your shepherds. Now, on the surface, does that make sense? Kind of hard to wrap your mind around a little bit. The wind is going to shepherd the shepherds. Well, what does a shepherd do with the sheep? Have you ever seen a video of a shepherd and his sheep? Does a shepherd drive his sheep? He leads them. The shepherd walks, the sheep follow. So the shepherds are supposed to be leading the sheep, and it says the wind shall shepherd or lead your shepherds. And you say, I really don't understand. Let's put it this way. If you, whether you lived in the Old Testament, Sister Curley, or whether you lived in the New Testament period, it applies either one. If you had a spiritual leader, would you want that spiritual leader to be led by the Spirit of God? Yeah, you want God. You want that to be a godly man that's got to walk with God and God's leading him. And you've got confidence. Okay? Well, here's the thing that's interesting, Sister Carol Lee. That word wind is very different in the Hebrew. And let me explain. Right up here, there's no windows in here. And if we was to turn off all these lights, it'd just get pretty dark now, wouldn't it? Light. L-I-G-H-T. But the word light, L-I-G-H-T, can also mean the opposite of what? Heavy. Same word, two different, totally different meanings. And so if you want to make a play on words, Sister Carol Lee, sometimes you can grab a word that has two separate meanings and have them fit. And this word in the Hebrew is ruah. The ruah shall shepherd your shepherds. Ruah means wind in the Hebrew. But the same word can also be spirit. Ruah can be wind or it can be spirit. So you see how Jeremiah is making a little bit of a play on words here, where he says, listen, your shepherds, your spiritual leaders are not going to be led by the Spirit of God. They're going to be led by the wind. And you say, well, what is the wind? Well, the Apostle Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul said, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Paul said, listen, as Christians, as New Testament believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be established. We need to be established in our beliefs and established in not a religious system, but established in the Scripture, amen. That we are, that way we're not going to be carried about, or as the King James says, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Where you say, man, I don't know really what I believe. I believe in Jesus, but other than that, I really don't know. And Jeremiah said, your spiritual leaders, Israel, Judah, are going to be led by the wind. And you know, one man said it this way about modern day Christians. And I'm not talking, this is not a shot at you guys. This is a shot at Christianity in general. So don't take any of this personal at all. This is not meant or directed to you. This man said, people are in love with a Jesus that they don't really know very much about. They know they love Jesus, and they get inspired The songs, the music inspires them, but they are in love with a Jesus that they really don't know very much about. And Paul is saying, if you're not careful, you can be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. And in later on in Jeremiah 23, this same chapter that we read today, Jeremiah said this, and man, this is scathing, folks. He said, I did not send the prophets. He's talking about the preachers that were preaching to Israel there in Jerusalem at that time. He said, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. They would open their mouth and begin to preach. And he said, but I didn't send them. I didn't speak to them. They're talking, but I didn't put any words in their mouth to say. And he says, behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, thus says the Lord, or declares the Lord. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness. They're reckless with stuff. And I'm just going to tell you, this is my personal opinion, and you can go down your own route. I'm glad there's not a lot of people in here right now, because I'm going to say something that's a little controversial. Can I say something controversial and then we all move on? Sister Carmen, you're my friend, so I'll just say this to you and they can listen in, because I know you won't hit me. Or that if you did hit me, it wouldn't be as hard as if Brian hit me. Hey, that'd be the fight. I'd say it. Everybody likes a good fight. Sister Carmen, I have heard men that are quote-unquote prophets that have this unction and this anointing. And one prophet prophesy one thing under the anointing and unction of the Holy Ghost. And then another guy that's just as esteemed will prophesy something that's completely contradictory. And I just say, you know what? I don't know what's going on here, man. I want to tell you, I've gotten to the point, folks. I want to tell you what I trust. I trust the Scripture. And I would warn anybody that would say, oh no, I want to come in and I want to get a fresh word. I want to get a fresh anointing. What did God speak to that man of God while he was in prayer? And he can get up in the anointing of God, unction. But if you're not careful, you're going to found yourself and establish yourself, amen, on the prophetic utterances of a man and not the Scripture. And I don't mean to be such an antagonist here, but I've seen too much. Sorry. So sorry. And it just when I read this scripture, it reminds me of this stuff. I didn't send the prophets, but they ran. They went anyway. They're out there speaking, but I didn't give them any words to say. And then verse 3, he says this. This starts kind of where we turn around and start getting a little bit more of a beacon of hope here. In verse 3, and I got to move off of verse 2 because I'm not joking. I've got enough stuff to talk about in verse 2. We could just talk about verse 2 today. You understand me? And I preach the rest of this stuff later. Can I say one more thing about verse 2? I mean, I'm already in this hole. You might need to go warm the truck up, Sister Wiggins. But Sister Wiggins, some people are so fascinated and drawn to, he's walking in the prophetic right now. He's walking in the prophetic. But yet, if I come in and just say, no, let's just open up the book of Jeremiah and let's just start going verse by verse. And we know this is the voice of God talking. We know this is God's word talking. You know what some people do? This is, again, you might need what some people do. They get bored. because it's not sensational enough. It doesn't give them that little chill up their spine. And they get bored and just say, man, I know that that's the word of the Lord, but that Jeremiah wrote that 2,400 years ago. I need a fresh word. Can I tell you what Jesus told the Pharisees? He said, the reason that you guys don't like me is that my words have no place in you. That's why the word of God needs to not be boring to us. Going through Jeremiah needs to not bore us. Because people that are going to be bored are people that the word finds no place in their heart to begin with. They're interested in the sensational. And you know what? I know we can trust this word. Now, let's go to verse 3. I'm off my soapbox now. Verse 3. I will gather the flock of my remnant out of the countries where I've driven them, and I will bring back them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. So in the midst of these prophecies of doom and judgment, Jeremiah speaks of what was going to be a better day to come. That Israel was going to go into captivity and get driven and scattered into all these nations, but there would come a day that they would get regathered. And if you'll remember, on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 2, it says, there were then dwelling in Jerusalem devout Jews out of what? Every nation under heaven. What had happened? There had been an ingathering. God had brought people back. Verse number 5. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. What's Jeremiah talking about here? He's talking about the same thing that Isaiah had written about over 100 years earlier. When Isaiah, and we covered this, Isaiah chapter 11, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. In other words, you've heard of a family tree, right, Sister Carmen? It's like the line of Davidic tree of Davidic kings. It was like a family tree that would have all these branches. But when Nebuchadnezzar came and toppled Jerusalem, it was like that tree got cut down. So you have this stump that was what used to be the tree of David's line. And David's dad's name was Jesse. That's why they call it the stump of Jesse. But that out of this stump, a little branch would shoot up. And that was Messiah. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's Jeremiah prophesying of a better day. He said, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely. Verse 6, in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the part that's cool, okay? This is the part that's cool. This is the part that if you forget everything I've said, please remember the next 5 minutes, okay? Promise me? And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Now, Brother Brian, in order to understand this right, I'm going to have to give an illustration. And I want somebody that's not ashamed of their age. And you, we both know you don't ever ask a woman their age. But, although I've asked a few women, how do you make a candle burn longer? And if they say trim the wick, I know. They've just dated themselves. Young girl doesn't know that. But here's the deal. Brian, when I was a kid and you were a young man that was acting like a kid, you're not that much older than me. When we were kids, there was a game show on called To Tell the Truth. Does anybody remember To Tell the Truth? You would have these panel of celebrity judges, And celebrities on game shows are people that are washed up that can't get a gig anywhere else, okay? I mean, let's just tell the truth there, okay? Okay. And they would be sitting over there, and these doors would open up, and three gentlemen would step through. And one would say, hi. And they'd say, contestant number one, what is your name? My name is Lowell McLaughlin. Contestant number two, what is your name? My name is Lowell McLaughlin. Contestant number three, and you kind of got it. And the celebrity judges have to figure out who's the imposters and who's the real guy, because they're going to have to vote for number one, number two, or number three. Okay? And I don't know why I do this. Brian, there's a bunch of those old episodes of that on YouTube, and I just love to watch those things. I can't help it. Man, show ran till 1976. I was in elementary school when it went off the air. And here I am, 60 years old, and man, I get up there on YouTube and watch that, man. But the deal was, Brother Brian, is that two of those guys was imposters, and one of them was the real guy. Yes. You say, well, what in the world does that have to do with Jeremiah 23 and 6? It's the only way to understand this verse. Otherwise, you won't understand it. In his days, this king that's going to come and reign, okay? In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. To me, this is so cool. Because imagine three guys up here, and they're all sitting down, and the real one's going to stand up. The last king to ever reign, when Jeremiah uttered this prophecy, the last king to ever reign in Jerusalem was sitting on the throne at that point. This was immediately before the Babylonian invasion. There would be no more kings. This was the last king. And he was sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. And his name was Zedekiah. And you know what Zedekiah, you know how Abraham means father of many nations? Samson means little son. Zedekiah, the Lord, our righteousness. That's what Zedekiah, look it up. Don't take my word for it. Zedekiah means the Lord, our righteousness. So Jeremiah is prophesying of this great king that's going to redeem Israel and bring get these people that are scattered and bring them back and all of that. And here is, and it says, and his name is going to be called the Lord our righteousness. And there's Zedekiah. Well, here I am. Because that's my name. That's what it means. And the game show host says, I'm sorry, but could you be seated, please? Contestant number three, the Lord Jesus Christ, would you please stand? Because you are the true Zedekiah. Zedekiah, you were only an Old Testament type, only an Old Testament shadow. In fact, you were a wicked king that was a type of a righteous king. Zedekiah, you're not. Will the real Zedekiah stand up? Zedekiah, that king would have to stay seated, and the Lord Jesus Christ would have to stand. And to me, that, I don't know, to me, folks, when I read stuff like that, when I see that, and when I can get to the bottom of it and say, oh, I see what's going on here. I understand this now. And I just say, my goodness, this is food for my soul. This is nourishment for me. This is establishing me. This is founding me on the word to where when storms come and things get crazy in the society around me, I've got the word of God that I can stand on. The last thing I want to say is this. We're going to go to verse 7 and verse 8, and then we're going to be done. So we only need about another 5 minutes here. In fact, I still have a little bit of this cough. This This virus that I got from Sister Wiggins is just, in so many ways, she's been such a good wife, but she just really, this last virus, I just, man, it's really put a strain on our relationship. But Sister Wiggins, I think we've talked about this already. Tony got it. Megan got it. Then the kids got it. And me and Sister Wiggins, like sacrificial lambs, flew in there to Missouri. And within 48 hours, we both had this thing so bad. Oh, man. Anyway, the last verses I want to say, and this is kind of cool, too. Speaking about this new king that would sit on the throne. The real Zedekiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of Egypt. You say, well, what does that mean? Eunice, I don't know how you would have done it, but Eunice, if you was to go into our home and open drawers and get nosy, you would find little notepads from hotels. I don't steal stuff, but complimentary items. The pins got the name of the hotel on it. Yeah, I've still got stuff from Spain. We stayed in hotels, and again, free stuff. Didn't steal anything. But Eunice, if I was going through that Red Sea the day it opened, and you got to realize that event was one of the apex moments of Israel's history. That event was one of the biggest events that ever happened in that nation's history when they walked through the Red Sea. And if Eunice, again, the way I like to stay in hotels, what I would have done, if it would have been me, is as I was strolling through the Red Sea, I would have looked down, said, oh, there's a little rock right here. I think I'll just have a little keepsake. It's just a rock. And then, Brian, when I got older, I would give this rock to my son before I died, and I would say, Daddy picked up this rock off the bottom, the floor of the Red Sea when God opened it up and we walked through. And then, Brian, you would give it to your son and you would say, Grandpa Tim picked up this rock off the bottom of the floor of the Red Sea. And then your son would give it to his son. And it would go on and on. And that story would be told and retold and retold. And that's what happened to the nation of Israel. They told and retold and retold that story of the glorious crossing of the Red Sea. But this verse here says, this king that's coming, this king that would reign in righteousness, that would actually become our righteousness, that we have no righteousness of our own. We use his righteousness. It says it's going to come to the point, he's going to be so good that people aren't even going to talk about the Red Sea anymore. It's going to be so good that they'll just say, you know what? This was the Red Sea, you know, but whatever. Somebody else can take that. That's not the story, man. He said that king is going to be so good. And his deliverance is going to be so wonderful. And his salvation is going to be so great that people are going to forget about the Red Sea. They're going to say, oh no, this king is the one that really delivered. And that king is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, as one man said, and you can all stand today. And it was not a man, it was a woe man. It was a woman. And no, I do not remember her name. I don't remember her name. But she said it this way at the end of her life. As I recall, it was a woman. And she said, upon a life I did not live, and upon a death I did not die, I lay all my hopes for eternity on a life I never lived and on a death that I never died. I put all my faith and hopes for my eternity. And that's what Jeremiah was talking about here, is that there was going to come a king that would be Yahweh, our righteousness. And Carl, this might be interesting to you. I only read this in one source. I didn't have time to go confirm this, so I didn't put it in my notes. The interesting thing about the name Zedekiah is that other characters in the Bible, other Bible characters, have pieces, parts of the name of God in their name. Like Elijah, that E-L, okay? And Jeremiah has some of the name of God in his name. But there was only, according to this source that I read, and I have not had time to research this to confirm it, the whole name of God, that YHWH, you would pronounce Yahweh, is found in the Old Testament in places. It'd be like the name of a place, and it would contain the whole name of God. But never is there any other person in the entire Old Testament that had all of the letters of the name of God in his name. It was Zedekiah. And so what that was saying, what Jeremiah was saying, is the Zedekiah is to come. He's going to be a full representation of who God really is. His name, God's name, God's essence, God's presence. He will be a representation out of all of that. And that's why the writer in the New Testament said that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. If you want to see God, he's invisible. But look at Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. He was the true Zedekiah. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, I worship you, Lord. God, I worship you, Jesus. Let's gather up front for just a few moments and just seek the Lord.
Place, and we sing hallelujah. and adore your holy name. And we sing hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the great I am. King of kings and Lord of lords. We worship and adore.
Let's worship the Lord today. God, we're so thankful. God, we're so thankful, Jesus. God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Lord. And I've quoted it once. Let me quote it for the 900th time. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees. And he was speaking of the Old Testament scriptures because the New Testament scriptures hadn't been written yet. And he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. And those scriptures speak of me. So when we go into our Old Testament, who do we need to see? And who did we see today? Zedekiah, the last king to ever sit on the throne. His name means the Lord, our righteousness. And Jeremiah says, let me explain what's really going to happen. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.